Very good afternoon, welcome back. If you'd like to join in the show at any point with any legal or financial questions, we're waiting for Craig Plum of Jones Lang LaSalle to join us in the studio to give us details about the Real Estate Transparency Report. It's a chunk of a report, actually, and hopefully he's going to guide us through what was the criteria, which were the countries that ranked the highest and, let's say, the lowest. Another question came through, what about Greece? Greece was number 33 out of 97. Well, let's put that to one side for the moment, and let's go back to Ludmilla if we can. I'll ask you, what was your top story? What would you like to talk to us about today?
Well, there's also a message that came from a listener, and I think it probably is a nice lead-in to my update, and that this one refers to tenancy and leases. Okay. The message says, after 10 years, right. Landlord wants to increase our deposit by 7,000 dirhams. We paid 3,000 in 2002. They haven't given a reason other than times have moved on. And I think this sort of opens up an interesting subject regarding tenancy, and we've talked about it in the last several weeks, especially in connection with this new statement requiring that all visa renewals are linked to tenancy contracts. And in turn, tenancy contracts have to be registered with the land department in order to be to be valid. So let me just kind of give the background on or the latest on that particular regulation, and then we can delve into the question itself. So as I mentioned last week, we've done our due diligence. Especially gone to the Department of Immigration and found out from them, you know, what sort of the latest on, you know, which tenancy contracts are required for what, you know, is it true that for every residence visa, you know, which obviously is linked to employment except family visas, you need to show a tenancy contract. And the answer is as follows. That particular rule and regulation applies to family visas. And that's because, you know, in order to get a residence visa in Dubai or in the UAE, you need to be employed. And so your employer becomes your sponsor. And as long as you've got a sponsor, it's, you know, the sponsor has the business address and the trade license to which your particular visa is linked. Therefore, in that instance, if it's your sponsor, i.e. your employer that's applying for a visa, you do not need to show to tenancy contract.
Right.
Where you need to show a tenancy contract is when you want to sponsor your family, your children, and your wife, and so that's when that regulation comes in. So, you know, it's not as alarming as so many of our listeners thought, as we all thought. For now, basically, not much has really changed, to be honest with you. And so that's one. But, you know, there's another story kind of related to that. There have been, you know, a number of statements coming from RERA and the Land Department about registering tenancy contracts. And this is very important because now that the prices are going up, both for rent and for sale, many landlords are now wanting to increase rent, you know, or in our listeners' message, deposit. And, you know, many landlords now actually want to sell. And so, you know, there are now, there's a whole wave of new disputes that's brewing when, you know, the landlord wants, for example, to sell the property. You know, how much notice need to give to the tenant in order to evict, and, you know, by how much can they increase the property, the rent, and so on and so forth. So anytime you have a dispute today, you need to have your tenancy contract has to be registered with the land department, especially as
who
far
does
as
them.
Well, I mean, either tenant or the landlord can do so. For tenants, it's a little easier because today, if tenants' agreement is not, or lease is not registered, they will still be allowed to file a case with the rent committee without the lease being registered for now. The landlord, on the other hand, if a landlord has a dispute with the tenant, in order for them to apply to the rent committee, they need to have the tenancy agreement registered. And registered means what? There is this AGRI system, and that's basically a certification from the land department that you know, that basically registered the particular lease in their system. And there are two ways to do it. One is through basically IJARI, which at the land department is a, you know, system called Takhlis, and then the other one is the typing center. So if you do it through the Takhlis system, which is an online system, you have to actually go online and you have to, you know, input all the details of the lease in the electronic format, which is a lot more difficult because it's a lot more limiting. The other way to do it is you go to this one of the typing centers, and then, you know, you give them whatever your lease, the lease you have. It does not need to be in Arabic. It can be in English. And then you register it with that, and it becomes an IJARI registered lease. And so also this is important because, you know, there have been a number of stories in the last several weeks about also requiring business businesses that will also be required to have their tenancy agreement or business for their commercial properties registered with the JARI in order to renew their licenses. So this whole requirement of registering tenancy contracts is becoming a lot more important.
So how do you check if it is licensed? So, I mean, obviously that's just, say it's not by default, so you have to actually check and do it.
Indeed, yes. You have to, you know, either the tenant or the landlord has to do it. And so my advice is that for all of those, either landlords or tenants who are entering into new agreement, that they bear that this fact in mind right away, and they agree between themselves, you know, who should be responsible for registering this. Obviously, there's this sort of notion that as long as there's a real estate agent involved in administering the transaction, you know, they should be the one facilitating registration. But, you know, and that's a logical assumption, but it does not happen by default. Therefore, you know, make sure that if you do work through a real estate agent, that that requirement is clearly specified. And then
do you have to pay for it?
Yes, you do. It's 190 dirhams to register.
But with this, I mean, this question, I think that's quite interesting. I've never heard of a landlord increasing the deposit. So I'm presuming then if it was by 7,000, then it would be 10,000 in total. Can they do that? I mean, is that...
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's actually nothing in the tenant-landlord laws that deals with increasing the deposit. You know, there's several provisions dealing with rent caps, but not so much the deposit. And therefore, you know, this is one of those issues that is not addressed in the law and has not really, you know, been sort of vetted out through the rent committee yet. I mean, do they have the right? Logically, it seems that, you know, the deposit should somehow correlate with the amount
of
rent.
Right.
Yes, I mean, just to cover the landlord.
It's usually like a month's rent, isn't it?
Usually it is, yes. But, I mean, it can be a lot more and often. I mean, it really sort of varies. But in this particular case, I mean, it seems, you know, if it's 10 years, you know, I mean, presumably the rent has gone up quite a bit. And so, you know, really the deposit is there to cover the landlord's, you know, the landlord and whatever issues that may arise once
Yeah, but as long as it's not being used. Because what's interesting, I suppose, is that a lot of, as we've spoken about many times previously, is that a lot of these deposit checks are actually being used.
But, of course, I mean, they have to be used, to be honest with you, because otherwise... you know, if they're dated, then they expire after 6 months after their date.
But so you could just ask for one without a date on.
You could ask without the date, but you know, I mean, also the sort of the format of the checks changes, right? And so you want, you know, I mean, sometimes that check may become invalid. One and two, and sometimes the landlords can misuse it as well, because if there's no date, you know, they can basically put in whatever date they want. So tenants also want to make sure that, you know, for example, if they move out a year later, that the landlord does not, you know, cash that check.
Sorry to interrupt, but how valid, how long is a dated check valid for?
For 6 months after its due date.
So, oh, that's interesting.
Yes, exactly.
Because obviously most, well, minimum, a lot of the contracts will be a year. But I've never heard of anyone saying, oh, I have to write another check for my deposit.
Right, because
deposit.
The thing is most...
it's probably already been used.
Exactly. No, not most. All. I mean, all deposit checks,
in essence,
they're cashed basically right away. They're cashed right away.
But it's completely against what it is supposed to be. It's a deposit, which you're supposed to get back at the end.
Right.
To cover any damage.
But the thing is, okay, but you know, there's also a flip side of it. It's just, you know, how does the landlord protect himself? Because, you know, we know that checks can always bounce. And, you know, and if the tenant runs away or, you know, abandons the property, then...
Well, I suppose it's okay to do it if in the knowledge that they're doing it. Because otherwise you get yourself into
And the thing is that actually
situation.
The understanding is that most tenants know that landlords actually will go ahead and cash the deposit right away. And obviously sort of the presumption here is the landlord, you know, will be acting in good faith and will return the deposit, you know, if the property is returned in
proper
condition.
But you see, it acts both ways though, doesn't it? I mean,
absolutely.
See the landlord can obviously not know, you know, is it valid? They might do a runner, blah, 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 so I'll check it. But the same could be for the tenant. Well, how do I know that this guy's going to give me my rent?
Absolutely.
Back?
You know, and we've seen sort of disputes coming from both sides, and so it's a very fair question. This is why the need to have an escrow accounts and escrow laws, you know, that apply not only just to, you know, to off-land properties, but in general, you know, for just any kind of dealings in Dubai is so important, because, you know, more and more we're seeing this sort of question come up, you know, because if there was a proper escrow account set up or escrow system set up, then parties could just basically, you know, have that money sitting in the escrow account. But today, you know, there's a sort of mention and talk about escrow account, but it's not the same thing as what we understand in the West.
I thought that was all actually legal? I had to have an escrow account.
Well, the provision you're referring to, it's the provision related to off-plan properties. So if you're buying off-plan, then basically the developer is required to have a separate account that's called an escrow account where all the funds go in. But that's just as far as off-plan property is concerned. But there isn't really sort of an escrow system here that exists in the UAE today. And that often comes up, the question comes up when during purchases and sales of properties, you know, how does, for example, a seller, or how does a buyer ensure that, you know, the seller does not sell the property to somebody else? They want to basically secure the property. They would like to put some sort of deposit down, but who do they put that deposit down with? You know, and often what has happened in the past is that that deposit often resides with the real estate agent. And on that in itself, you can imagine, brings up all sorts of issues and disputes. So right now there isn't an effective system, and this is why it's, you know, I mean, you have these kind of these questions about deposits and you know, being used and cash at the same time. But, you know, going back to our listener's question, which is, there isn't really, honestly, it's not addressed in the law. So if it's a big issue to you and you want to dig your heels in, then you can. And if it's an important issue for the landlord, they could probably take it to the rent committee. But, you know, my recommendation is just, you know, to be reasonable. If you've lived in that property for 10 years and the landlord has taken good care of the property and has let you stay there for 10 years with all the ups and downs in the real estate market and the increases in the property, you know, it's only fair that you up your deposit to kind of reflect the current value of the property.
A couple more messages come through. Thank you for those. Someone says, use a bank bond, which has to be claimed in the event of damage to the rented property. A bond is the norm in developed world. What is it with Dubai? Can I go back to those questions, though? And there's another one. We gave a cash deposit as we had only arrived in Dubai and didn't have a bank account. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people wouldn't, I suppose. So we've got a couple of questions to get through when we come back, but we're going to go to our next break now. And we will, when we return, also be having a chat with Craig Plum of Jones Lang LaSalle. He's going to be taking us through the real estate transparency report that's just been recently released. That's all coming up. Do stay with Dubai Eye.